Now, it's good to welcome back Brian Hughes, who, as I'm sure you know by now, is consultant solicitor of Shenfield-based Rona Hughes. Now, last time you were here, Brian, you were talking about title deeds, and then, much to my astonishment, embarked on a history lesson going back to the time of William the Conqueror. But although you're sticking to the same theme, you're coming much more up to date, aren't you?
Yeah, I thought we'd stick to the nitty-gritty this time.
Now, amazingly, I've come across a few people who really still don't know the difference between freehold and leasehold. So perhaps you could start today by briefly outlining the factors involved here, because some real fastballs with topspin in this little lot, are there not?
Well, indeed, yes, there are. Freeholds relate to the ownership of land and what is above and below it, and can be subject to or have the benefit of rights relating to the land. A landowner may, for example, have a right of way over a neighbouring property, or someone else may have rights over his. His or her land may be subject to a long lease of a building. Land is viewed by lawyers as a parcel or package with some rights included in it and some taken out. And that's not a bad way to look at land. At all times, irrespective of what's in the parcel or what's been taken out of the parcel, there will always be an owner of the land itself, whether the owner be one or two people, a company, or a trust corporation. And that owner will be the freeholder. Now,
okay, so would I be right in saying, though, that generally flats will normally be sold as leasehold and houses freehold, or doesn't it work like that?
Yeah, yes. Some new houses in the north of England, however, have recently been sold with rent charges on them, which double every 10 years. These rent charges are likely, ultimately, to be greater than the value of the house. The builders sell on the rent charges to financial institutions, which will ultimately chase the poor homeowners for these immense sums of money. These increasing rent charges make the property virtually unsaleable. All lawyers are very annoyed about this, and we really need further regulation in the new build sector. I mean, for example, some developers set up management companies to administer estates, another way for them to exploit house purchasers and make more money. I would recommend listeners to go to the House Owners Alliance website for more information on this sort of rip-off.
Yeah, because there's quite a bit of this in the paper at the weekend.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It was even suggested in one particular case here that when some people bought the property, they were advised to go to the legal advice of the company that was selling it. So, of course, they really fell into the trap there, did they not?
Well, you should never go to the solicitors recommended by the developers. You should use solicitors external to the developers. It's often an inducement, you know, we'll pay the fees, etc. But you're just sticking your head in the lion's mouth, really.
Now, you've mentioned that this is happening in the north, but is it only confined to the north? And is it something that we're likely to see down in this area as well?
Well, it's not necessarily confined to the north, but the people up north have been making much more fuss about it. And have obviously cottoned on to this sort of rip-off that they're going to have to pay an immense amount of money at the end of the day on the rent charges, where they've been usually introduced to the house by the developer's own solicitors.
Because this is a fairly new thing, is it not? I've never heard of this before.
Well, developers are inventing all sorts of crafty ways of making a bit more money.
Uh-huh.
And these rent charges and these management companies they set up are two ways in which they exploit purchasers of freehold properties.
Because seeing one of them here is that one particular couple were offered the chance to buy the freehold for £2,625 back in 2013. But for whatever reason, they decided to defer that. But then when they went to try and buy the freehold recently, having spent £800 to find out how much it would be, they were then astonished to find it was £32,000.
Yeah, well, that's a complete rip-off, isn't it? And these management companies that they set up, or the ground rent charges that they sell on, I mean, nobody can control them. I mean, purchasers of freeholds, where there are, for example, management companies, they don't have any say in who owns the management companies. Mm. Developers often sell them on to financial institutions, as I say, which exploit the situation.
Mm. Now, apart from that, in addition, I think there are still one or two relics in existence from the earliest days following the introduction of the original Land Registration Act of 1863. We're not going back too much. Too far. Well, not going back to William the Conqueror.
No. We won't go back to William the Conqueror this time. But it's certainly true that one or two relics of the old system, like chancel repair liability and the rights of the lord of the manor over common land, are yet to disappear. But by and large, land ownership, subject to what I've just said, is tidier now than it ever has been. One or two wealthy landowners have been very canny in the past, and one of those was an earlier Lord Peter, who in the late 1880s owned vast swathes of the Essex countryside, particularly in the Brentwood area. When this earlier Lord Peter sold off parts of his land, he reserved to himself and his successors all mining and mineral rights from the land. He took the rights out of the parcel.
Mm.
If, therefore, fracking had been possible in Essex, his successors would have been entitled to enter the land he'd sold and extract the shale gas under it.
And is that still the case?
Well, it would be the case if it had been possible.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any possibility of finding shale gas or shale oil in this part of the world.
It's still those rights are still there, are they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, you'll find them in lots of deeds in the properties in the area.
So let's assume, just for a moment, that fracking was possible here. Hopefully, presumably it's not. But would that mean that a house might have to be demolished?
No. That's very unlikely indeed. But it wouldn't help a sale if you had to admit that fracking was taking place in the shale underneath your house.
All right.
Deep that fracking was.
All right, let's move on to the title deeds themselves.
Yeah, well, until 2009, one received a splendid-looking certificate from the Land Registry showing that one was the owner of a registered freehold or a leasehold estate. But the Land Registry decided to go paperless that year and put everything onto computer. Why did they do it? Why don't they issue certificates anymore? Basically, it was the amount of paper it had to deal with. It was easier to go paperless, put all the titles onto a computer, and file the lot in cyberspace under the cloud system. But because an owner had no title documents for his property and didn't have a land certificate anymore, the Land Registry made it possible for all registered freehold and long leasehold titles to be accessed by anyone online. In other words, anyone can now go online and obtain, for a very modest amount, an official copy of their title or anybody else's title. And that has its dangers.
I think it does.
Yeah, there are fraudsters who've taken advantage of this concession. So when buying a property, you should be extremely careful to check out the seller, especially if that seller doesn't live at the property and the property is empty. There are many fraudsters out there who try to sell empty houses by pretending to be the seller. They take the purchase money and disappear. Problems arise when the true owner appears, only to find that there's an unsuspecting purchaser living in the house. It's also important to note that whilst the Land Registry plan will show the boundaries of the property edged in red, unless the boundaries have previously been measured and recorded in documents submitted to the Land Registry on first registration, these are general boundaries only and not exact ones, and I've already mentioned boundary disputes in a previous programme. Now, getting on to the land certificate or the paper title itself, it's in three parts: the property register, the proprietorship register, and the charges register. The property register will describe the property and mention the rights attached to the property and the rights reserved from the property. These are called exceptions and reservations. People often look blank when the solicitors mention this. Now, the earlier Lord Peter reserved mineral rights, but other people have reserved different sorts of rights. For example, rights of light, rights of way, rights of air in favour of their adjoining land. There are many types of exception and reservation. And now, in the case of long leases, the duration of the lease is stated in the property register, and also the ground rent, the rent or ground rent payable. The second register is the proprietorship or ownership register and gives the full name and address of the owner or owners of the property.
Right, OK. Now, can we just go back a bit? Because you just said about anybody can get details or copies of anybody's land or
That's
property.
Right.
What is to prevent... I mean, we've heard in cases, I'm sure, where people have intercepted posts from... And they then take their
steal identity,
steal the identity, and still go after it. So how do you stop that?
Well, it's very difficult, isn't it? You've just got to be extra wary. And if, for example, somebody says they live in the house and the registered owner is registered as living somewhere else, then you should be... extremely suspicious.
Right.
That happened recently, actually, and the solicitors were found to be negligent.
Well, how about protecting your own property?
Well, you can actually put a notice on your own property, but it's very, very difficult. The best thing, funnily enough, is where you've got a mortgage on the property.
Yes.
Because if you've got a mortgage on the property, then people are not going to move in and try and sell it.
Now, I don't know whether it's done me any good, but I contacted Land Registry and put a note on there that if anybody is trying to sell the house, to let me know.
That's right. You can so that
hopefully I would get a bit of a tip off.
A bit of advance notice,
right.
What's going on.
Now, what if there are any charges attaching to the property?
Well, these are listed in the third section of the deeds and of the title. It's called the Charges Register, and it will detail any mortgages and restrictions that the owners themselves are subject to. And these now are often called restrictive covenants or stipulations.
And what are they exactly?
Well, there are two sorts of restrictive covenants, those imposed on owners pre-1948 and those imposed subsequently. Prior to 1948, you'll probably appreciate that there was no town planning.
Mm.
And the only way an owner of a house could be forced to do things or not to do things was for the builder or a previous owner to impose restrictive covenants.
Mm.
That's why you come across old covenants or restrictions stating that the owner cannot, for example, keep pigs or chickens.
Or that he might even have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you find that one.
Would you not? I thought I read it somewhere that someone suddenly found that they couldn't own the property unless they actually put something on it.
Well, I think that must have been a very quirky seller who imposed that one. But there are more important ones, like you can't put more than one house on a plot.
Mm.
Or you have to contribute to the maintenance of a private road on an estate.
Or a church.
Well, that's the chancel liability.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
and are there many of those around?
You can do a search, because there are still quite a few churches which have the ability to call for money for the repair of the nave of the church.
Mm.
That's all solicitors now do a chancel repair search.
Right.
Yeah. And
what about the tower?
What about the
if the tower got struck by lightning or something, would you have to pay for the repair of that as well?
Well, it does relate strictly to the nave, but you should actually get a search, and if there's any chance of liability, then you can get a very cheap insurance policy against it.
And I believe that you mentioned somewhere that actually you can apply to have all of these things removed.
Well, yeah, I was going to say most of the 1948 restrictions have been overtaken by town planning and modern estate covenants and are redundant. Insurance companies will still make lots of money out of insuring owners against the breach of these ancient covenants.
Quelle surprise.
Yeah, 99% of which have been overtaken by legislation and are completely unenforceable. There's also nothing to stop anyone applying to the Lands Tribunal to have them struck out of their deeds.
Oh, so you can do that?
Yes, you can,
But clearly you need to get a lot of advice and get someone who's really on the ball to go through all the documents before you sign on the dotted line and buy a property.
Yeah, I mean, don't ever entrust your money to somebody who isn't clued in on what's going on on a house purchase. Lots of people are tempted into getting a cheap deal, and they find that there's some paralegal secretary who's been working in it for 5 or 6 years, haven't got a real background knowledge of the law. and they find themselves in trouble. I mean, I've come across one or two of those cases.
Now, if that was the case, and the solicitor was found not to have done his job properly, have you got any redress?
Well, there are various means of redress. The Office for Legal Complaints and the Legal Services Ombudsman are both there to deal with complaints made against solicitors. And, of course, solicitors, if they have been negligent, they have professional indemnity insurance, which covers the unfortunate person against the negligence of the solicitor.
Right. Fair enough. Well, look, Brian, you never cease to surprise me with all you managed to cover in such a short time. Thanks again. And have you decided what your next subject is going to be?
Well, some years ago, I qualified as a family mediator.
Uh-huh. And
I thought the next subject might be on mediation on divorce.
Right. OK. Fair enough. We will look forward to that. Thank you very much indeed.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.